You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas, the Hot Texas Swing Band.
We're so delighted that you're with us tonight for episode 144.
Excellent.
Yeah, so Jim, who do we have joining us tonight?
Matt Scott.
And here he is. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Bobby and Jim. How are you?
We're great. We both have, of course, as we always do, read Matt's book from cover to cover, hardly able to take a breath in between pages, and eager to jump into the second two books of the trilogy. But we'll get into that in a moment. So, Matt, where are you joining us from tonight?
I am coming to you live from Charlotte, North Carolina, where I live with my wife and my two crazy golden retriever puppies.
Did you say you were just outside with them earlier tonight?
Oh, yeah. One of them is bona fide ball crazy, and, I mean, he won't stop running until he passes out.
But it's sounds like a two-year-old, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's still 90 degrees here, so it's, He was hot and I was exhausted by the time it was over.
Yeah, that's kind of like how it is here in Albuquerque tonight. Very similar, very similar. Well, let's see. Jim, do you have a bio?
We have a little bio. Yeah, a little info about Matt. Matt has a bachelor's degree from Hampton Sydney College, a liberal arts institution in Virginia, where he majored in history and political science. He had the honor of studying under the former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, General Sam Wilson. After moving from the Hampton Roads area in 2006, Matt now lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, with his wife and the Golden Retrievers, which we were just talking about. Huh? Matt's debut action-packed political spy thriller, Surviving the Lion's Den, was released in 2021, and we'll be talking about it tonight. His next novels in the series include Iranian Deception 2022 and Atola Takedown 2023. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you very much for having me.
I think I can see the covers of the other two books over your shoulder, Matt.
Yeah. That's correct.
And look at all those books he has on the shelves behind him.
Yeah.
Have you read all those books, Matt? are they on your to-read list?
Maybe he wrote them.
No, I haven't written them. But no, I've read most of them. Some of them are on the TBR list, but I've read most of them.
Yeah. There's something so cozy about having books that our eyes can gaze over or graze. I feel the same way about looking at record albums and seeing the spines, and CDs as well. It's kind of who we are, you know, you can kind of get a gauge of it, can't
Absolutely.
You, by what we have around us, all those favorite things that
Absolutely.
Caused us to be the people we became. Yeah.
So that's really
cool. We're starting to wonder where to put them, though, aren't we? Look at how they walk.
Yeah.
So tell us, would you share a little something with us that maybe we didn't get in the bio that would be a fun thing to tell us?
I am a huge professional wrestling fan.
All right.
You are.
I have been a professional wrestling fan since about 1987 when Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3, and I kept up with it through the years for nothing else more than I love seeing a guy get hit with a ladder.
Great.
Well, now we know where some of the action scene ideas must come from in your book.
I tell you, I tell you what, watching, if you actually watch, the sequencing of a wrestling match, I've said this at some of the book conferences I've been to, it does help you craft a fight scene. It really does.
I was just looking at something news blurb here in the last 24 hours that big musician Jelly Roll decided to become a wrestler, and he and some other wrestler were on one of the late night talk shows, and all of a sudden they're all wrestling, and it was pandemonium all over the stage.
I saw it. Yeah,
Oh my God.
I retweeted that. I thought it was awesome. I love it.
Okay, you saw it then.
I eat it up. I eat it up. Yeah.
My gosh, what a fun. I'm so glad you shared that. That's just way too fun. Tell us a little bit more too about the school that you went to, because we weren't familiar with it initially. Hampden Sydney College. Tell us a little bit about that college, and maybe did it how it if it did impact your writing.
Oh, it absolutely did. I mean, it's still an all-male private college, about an hour and a half west of Richmond. The recruiting tool that they used was on me was, well, it's all male, but there's, three all-girl schools within 2 hours of it. So they made their argument very compelling. But it does very much, concentrate on, the aspect of writing. You have to take a rhetoric class and you have to pass it before you graduate. And I didn't know it at the time, but I mean, it just kind of started, kind of chipping away at me because I was a little rough around the edges. And then I was fortunate enough to meet some really good professors in the history department. And I was able to study under General Wilson. He used to be the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. So it was one of those things that, just kind of happened. I fell in love with the campus when I toured it originally, but it ended up being better for me than I think I originally anticipated.
It has a really long history.
Hey, yeah, go back to the 1750s or something, right?
It's founded in 1776. Yeah, 1775 actually, but yeah, right around the Revolution.
Do you have a question? I know you have a question.
I do.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a question. That one.
Which one? Actually, yeah, man, when did you think about first becoming a writer?
It was late for me. I really found it late in life. When I got out in the job world, and I was working my 8 to 5 in the shipping industry, I would just always go out to my car to read at lunch. So, that was my time away from my computer to just be in my own little world. So, I started out reading, it was Dan Brown, when the Da Vinci Code phenomenon hit. And then it was Vince Flynn, and just kind of, so it just kind of captured me, because I used to hate reading. I hated it. I mean, in school, they would make me read, The Invisible Man and Watership Down. I couldn't stand it. But once I found something that, I was really interested in reading it, it really hit me hard. And what I didn't know was, as each book that I was reading, I was basically taking a master class on, how to create characters, how to mold a plot, things like that. And then finally, right before I hit 40, I just decided, I think I've got an idea, and I'm gonna go for it.
Tell us about that book signing you went to.
Yeah, you went to a book
Oh,
signing.
yeah. So right there. So around that same time, I told you I've always wanted to write a book about a kidnapped CIA agent. That's just what I had in my head. But we're all filled with self-doubt and things like that. So I traveled back to Virginia to see my parents for Thanksgiving, and David Baldacci was in Williamsburg, which was just an hour outside of where they lived. And I got up to the table at the time, and I asked him. I said, I'm getting ready to be 40. Is that too late to become a writer? He stopped mid signature. I'm kidding you not. I still see I have the dot on the book where he stopped, and he looks up at me. He says, "Hell no, the industry could use some good young writers." Now, I didn't know if I should be happier that he thought 40 was young, or that he was telling me to go forth with my mythic destiny. But after that, when I got home, I started writing, and I was actually fortunate enough to. He did a book signing 2 years ago here in Charlotte, and I still had the picture, and I told him, and I told him that story, and he was very he was very taken aback by it. So it came full circle for me.
Yeah. So a lesson to everybody listening or watching, go to book signings. There's nothing like having an opportunity. It's the same thing. Go to live music. There's nothing like having the opportunity to hear a speak a writer speak if they're also doing that before the signing part. And then they want to meet you. It can be a little intimidating, but they want to meet you. So here's your, here's your chance. And it could change your life. I mean, as it
Very
did,
much.
right?
Yeah,
It
very, very, very
absolutely
much
changed
so.
your life. Yeah,
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's a
absolutely.
great story. There are some other folks I think that have influenced your writing. Is there anybody else you'd kind of like to call out that has influenced you in some way?
Right now, Jack Carr is at the top of the list. Brad Thor, big Brad Thor fan. I got to meet him at BoucherCon, actually for the second time, when we were in was it no, Nashville, when we were in Nashville. And at the time, I actually presented him a wrestling belt, because I thought he was the champ of the thriller genre. He got a kick out of it, and we had a lot of fun with it at the bar that night. Joel Rosenberg is one that I always like. I think he's at the top of his game. Ryan Steck is doing some good things right now, and but the guy that'll always be close to my heart is Vince Flynn. I mean, he was the one guy that, and Dan Brown too, obviously, but he only publishes a book every 5 or 7 years or so. But Vince Flynn, he was one where I just could not wait to get to the bookstore. I wouldn't even wait for Amazon Prime. Waiting 2 days was not enough for me. I would go straight to the bookstore and get it and read it within 2 days, and then complain that he doesn't write fast enough. So he was the one for me.
Yeah. Now I know that a little bit of on writing process, I think Stephen King, you had mentioned in something that I read that you had sent us that Stephen King's book on writing also had an impact on you, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, when you have someone that is as, high as Stephen King is on, the writing platform, and he gives you a chance to peek inside his mind and, write about the craft of writing, I would have been a fool not to read it. And it's just it helped me out in a lot of different ways, like a ways to describe a table or something like that, I think was one of the sections. And one of the other things was pacing was a big thing, if I remember right, in the novel. So it really gave a lot of insight as to how a novel can be crafted, and I think to hear from him on that was definitely beneficial.
And we were just, I had held it up to the camera, but in case you're listening to this audio only, we were talking about Stephen King's really well-known book, a memoir of the craft on writing. And many authors and fans of Stephen King have told me how much that they have enjoyed that book. So, okay, so now we're going to ask you a couple of questions. So the characters in your book, which we're going to be getting to a little bit later, but they're very active with handguns, rocket launchers, car chases, tools of torture. And so we're a little curious. Are you a golfer?
Well, let's back up a second.
Okay.
You did a lot of research here, or you are a very dangerous guy.
Yeah. Either you're a book learner or we would not want to meet you in a dark alley.
I don't think it's for me to say whether or not I'm dangerous, but yeah, I did do a lot of research. I do read a lot of memoirs of CIA operatives who've been in the field. Hand-to-hand combat is not one of the things that they really like to talk about, but you can kind of read between the lines. But when you read, Jack Carr, the intensity and the violence of it, it really helps. The car chase scenes, that was just something. I actually wrote that the first of those scenes pretty quickly, just because I was in the driver's seat, pounding away at the keyboard, and I just couldn't help myself. It was just a moment where, it just came straight to me, and I just didn't stop. Now, I can tell you that, I'm not the one that really has the lead foot in the house. I leave that honor to my wife. She can get anywhere. I assure you, she can get anywhere 20 minutes faster than I can. But the car chase scenes, it just that was something I'd always wanted to write, and when I got my chance, I just didn't back off of it.
Well, they told Bobby, we were talking before, about that one particular chase scene. And I thought, one of the most famous ones in all the movies is one of Popeye
Yeah.
Doyle and French Connection.
French Connection,
And
yeah.
I told Bobby, I said, this is just as good as
Well,
Popeye's
thank you. I appreciate
chase
that.
scene. So have you ever fished off of Nag's Head Pier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I used to live in Virginia Beach, or the Virginia Beach area, I used to drive an hour and a half go down to Nag's Head, because it was just, there was something more relaxing about it. So I spent a number of hours on that pier, and it was not a coincidence that it ended up in my novel.
Yeah, it's a wonderful scene in the
We've been
novel.
there.
Yeah,
Actually, we
we've
got a
been
whole
there.
bunch of relatives down
We
that
did.
area.
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
yeah, really?
We know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we we
They're all
we.
right now, I think they're all in
They're all in
Raleigh,
Raleigh
but
now, but yeah, we know that area. It's always fun, I think, for a reader when something they can, there's a moment that they can relate to, whatever it might, whatever it might be, a
yeah,
favorite, bourbon or a restaurant or a location,
absolutely,
that's always fun. We're going
absolutely.
to take our first a quick break, Matt, and when we come back, we're going to get in-depth look at Surviving the Lion's Den. But right now, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. And they are standing by to assist you. If you are a writer, they have a whole brand new program that they're launching. Take a listen, and we'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking to Matt Scott, and we're talking about his book, Surviving the Lion's Den,
Oh my
which is quite a story.
read. Oh my gosh.
Matt, tell us about the inspiration for the book.
Well, I always wanted to write a book about a kidnapped CIA agent. That was number one on my list, but how I would go about that was somewhat of a question. And to me, Iran was always an area of interest for me, just because it's been so shut off from the world, the Western world anyway, for so long. I mean, people have forgotten, what it looks like on the inside, how it truly operates. What are some of the sites that are out there? And you cannot talk about Iran, at least, the United States relationship with Iran, without talking about the 1953 coup of Mohammad Mossadegh. So I had to find a way to figure that in, and I was able to, my the story is really a two-pronged story that kind of meshes together with two characters. But I knew that if I had to write about anything, I knew I wanted to write about Iran, just because it was a subject of interest for me.
So this is a kind of a three-parter. We got a couple other books,
Yeah,
right?
three other books.
Yeah, I've got the second in the series is The Iranian Deception, and it concludes with the Ayatollah takedown, which was, my take on what, regime change could look like. Obviously, I fictionalize it as much as possible, but I think I put it out with a bang. But I never knew that I was going to write three books. When I had
Okay.
my publisher was interested in the first one. He said, "Well, I like it, but I don't want one. I want three." And right there on the phone, he said, "What other ideas do you have?" So I kind of had to come up with two ideas right then and there if I was going to get my publishing contract. So luckily, I had thought far enough out that I had at least something to give him. But at the time, books two and three were just that, ideas on paper.
Go
A lot of
ahead.
people, I gotta say, a lot of people come and go. Some of them, when they come and go, it's not very pleasant. But
Hi, body count.
by the time we get to the end of the third book, have we got anybody left that we know?
Ooh, spoiler
I
alert. We have to read it.
think you'll put it this way. Put it this way. I think you'll be happy with who's left and who's gone. Put it that way.
Okay.
Let's see now. Jim, oh, that was a good question that you had. Why don't you ask him this
Yeah,
one?
could you? After a while, I kept wondering. I said, "Could you trust anybody in Iran after 24 hours?"
No, you can't. No, you can't. But one of the things that I had to make sure that I put into the book was that not everyone in Iran that's living under the Ayatollah regime is chanting death to America. They're not.
Exactly,
They're So it
exactly.
was important to me to show, that some of those people they're suffering too. But if they work for the Revolutionary Guard Corps, forget about it. You don't even They'll turn you in a heartbeat.
Some of the scenes that were really so fun, because there is so much action and you do give us a chance to breathe and get us ready for whatever's coming next. But some of the scenes that were fun, even though there was action in them too, were the ones that happen within intimate home spaces
Right.
of some of the characters in Iran, where we get a different view. Did you have to
That's
do
true.
some
Yeah.
research on that, or you want to talk just a little bit about what goes on in those scenes? That's very fun. They're very fun.
I had a couple of I had a little bit of help with that because the Charlotte area does have, an Iranian population. And every once in a while they'll protest uptown about what's going on. So one time I just went out there and I just talked to them. And I read a couple of books about, people who had been political prisoner lived in Iran and been political prisoners. So they were giving feedback on, where they live, what does it look like, this is what we're putting up with. I watched a really, really good documentary on Amazon Prime of anything that kind of shows how, some of the people, get around, the rules of the besiege, the militia of the Revolutionary Guard. So it was a lot of work to get that because a lot of people who live there don't usually get out. So you have to be able to relate to what is there. But it was important for me to write those scenes because I want people to realize, what do they eat? What's some of the favorite things to eat out there, and how do they get around some of the rules that are out there. So that was important for me.
One thing that you wouldn't want to eat is what is that? Ghost pepper? No, what was it?
Yeah, it was the ghost pepper. Yeah,
Oh,
the torture.
my
Yeah, the torture scene
me.
with Tom DeLonge. Yeah.
If anybody offers that to you, just say no, thank you.
If they offer
Yeah.
that to you're probably in a bad place. Is the place to start with.
Absolutely.
You
Absolutely.
do have a, and you just mentioned a couple of the plot lines. One of the, and we don't want to do spoiler alerts because readers, you will really enjoy the book and the way that he weaves a variety, a number of plots together. But one has to do with Senator Vivian Walsh. Do you want to just take a moment and tell us a little bit about Senator Walsh?
At the heart of every conspiracy is a politician who's craving two things, money or power. And Vivian Walsh was mine. I crafted her out of thin air. I can't really tell you where she came from, but I knew that I wanted it to be a woman with that name. I can't even tell you why. But she was so highly connected, and she's, one of the senior members of the US Senate. She was not crafted about by, she wasn't crafted with any type of likeness to anyone that's in the US Senate today. Let me be very clear about that. I crafted her out of thin air. But she always has her own agenda. And anyone who has their own agenda, in the political arena is automatically dangerous and has, very downstream effects of any decision that she makes. And I knew that I could, if you had somebody like that, it was as powerful as her, if she could be somehow be blackmailed, that's when she becomes the most dangerous, because that's when she gets desperate. So that's where she came from, and she has a lot of effect with a military base in Bahrain, and with Tom DeLange, my kidnapped CIA agent.
You did an excellent job creating that type of character. I want to put a head on her myself.
I gotta tell you, that came from, the years of reading. I hate to keep, saying it, but it came from reading Vince Flynn, because he made the politicians so bad you just couldn't wait for Mitch Rapp to stick it to him. And I do the same, not quite as well as Vince did, but you had to hate her with a burning passion, and I think that I was able to do
You were.
You were. Another thing that was interesting is that if you go to Iran, it's good to have a tourist guide. And I'm guessing, is that true, Matt? Like if you were an American and you were able to go to Iran and you got, do you need to hook up with a tourist guide? Is that something that's, because that could, and tell, yeah, tell us about that.
It's a requirement, because it's actually illegal to be American over there. So that was one of the points that I wanted to put into the book, is that, because there's this, the war between Iran and the United States, if you wanted to go, how would you even get there? There is no US embassy over there. So I had to, do my research and find out, how would an American get over there? And there are still tours that bring Americans over to Iran. They've been doing it since the revolution. I thought about it one time, and I looked at my wife, and she's like, "Well, you can go, but I'm not paying the ransom." So at that point, I was like, "Well, I'll just keep a distance then, and I'll write it from about it from there."
Well, you have a very fun character who it does become the guide for one of the other characters. Do you want to? I'm afraid I won't say his name correctly.
Farad.
Can you tell Farad?
Farad,
Can you just tell us a little something about Farad?
Farad is a smuggler in Tehran. He is, he's had his entanglements with the Revolutionary Guard, and this one is no different. So I can't give away too much about him, but I wanted to write the novel in such a way that you never knew which side he was on until the end. But he has, we see the underbelly of Iran from his point of view, and through his eyes. And how do you even go about getting, a bottle of liquor in Iran? And Farhad Khorsandi is the guy you go to get it.
I thought that was very interesting. We got a, in this time day and age, we have a bootlegger, But I guess you can't drink over there, but everybody
No.
does. So how do you get the booze?
Yeah, exactly. It's a and the black market, is what drives that economy. Nobody wants to admit it, but that's how it's done.
Yeah. We're going to step away again for just a moment to tell you one of the places that you can order the books of many of our authors, including all three books of the Surviving the Lion's Den trilogy. You can find their books on the Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, we're going to get a little bit more into a few of the other characters from Surviving the Lion's Den. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking about Matt Scott and Surviving the Lion's Den. I don't think I could, you know.
I don't think I could survive in life. Yeah.
I wouldn't have had a chance.
No, I don't think so, honey.
We've been talking about a couple of the characters, and I have a question, Matt. Do any of these, I know you get control on these folks, but do any of them ever surprise you?
Constantly. Constantly. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I'm designing characters, you know, the first thing I do is, you know, create an entire history about them. So that I know, you know, how they would react to certain situations. And there's really fewer satisfying things to me as a writer is, you know, sitting down and trying to write a chapter and knowing, you know, where you want to end up and being very concerned because you don't know how to write yourself out of a situation. And it's usually the characters that do it for you. And it's very gratifying when you finish and you can just say, yeah, that was pretty good. But the characters are, I think if they don't surprise you, then there's not enough depth to them.
Do you ever have a situation with a character just kind of shows up and then just keeps tapping on your shoulder and says, write me, I belong in here. Write me in here. My name is so-and-so and I need to be in this story. Does that ever happen?
No, I try not to make my, well, it would be Vivian Walsh. Vivian Walsh would definitely do that. But for the most part, you know, I try to keep my characters at bay. I can always kind of see him looking at me and waiting to be called on, but I don't have anybody tapping on my shoulder because I generally know where I'm going to be going when I start a chapter anyway.
Do they ever say, don't kill me? No, I'm not done. No, don't. No, not yet. Not yet. They ever say that to you? No.
Yeah, I don't listen to them. Yeah. I you know, it's no mercy when I'm at my keyboard. So no.
Well, that's funny. I know you have a question, honey. I know you have a question.
We do. Just to take a back up just a second and take a quick 30 seconds or so. What is basically the storyline here of our main guy? Our main guy is Kurt.
Yeah.
And what's he
Kurt.
Trying to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so after, you know, Tom DeLonge gets kidnapped. He was going to get ready. Kurt Carruthers is my protagonist. He was going to go to the ball game with his grandfather, who was born Iranian. And so Kirk is a mix of Iranian and Korean, but his parents were killed. So his grandfather raised him, and he goes to pick up his grandfather one day and finds out that he has been murdered. And not only has he been murdered, but he has a secret. He was involved in the 1953 coup with Mohammad Mossadegh, and the person who was tracking him, you know, left a note. So Kirk has to make the decision that, you know, he's going to go to Iran and get revenge for his grandfather. And during the course of this, you know, quest of his, you know, he needs a guide. That's Farad. He ends up finding the person who killed his grandfather, but as it turns out, they've been waiting for him, and that's where, you know, he meets up with Tom DeLonge, who has a connection to his grandfather as well. And from there, it's an escape to get out of Iran before Vivian Walsh works her political magic in the background. So,
Fonda Lang is our other key character with the FBI or the CIA. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Did you do some research on the CIA? We didn't talk about that before, but you seem to know a fair amount about that organization. So,
I wish I could say that I worked in CIA. It's one of those things that I regret not doing. But I did learn a lot about the intelligence apparatus, the intelligence community from General Wilson on my days in college. And, after 9/11, one of the things that, kind of came about is, there was a big book boom of not only CIA thrillers, but, retired operatives that were coming out and writing their memoirs and things like that. So I just read as much as I possibly could. And watched, as many documentaries as I could, because it just interested me. And I've just been able to, stay on top of it to really make sure that my writing stays sharp when I'm talking about that subject.
Tom is in a prison for, we won't go into the details of that. You've got to read the book, but I would not want to be in that prison. Please I don't ever want to be in that prison.
Yeah, the Iran has some of the worst prisons in the world, but those are the ones that we know about. And I was doing some research, and one of the things that the Iranians do have are prisons that are so secretive that they're only run by a handful of individuals. And once I heard that, I was like, okay. So, that's how I can take care of him.
Well, as readers, we will tell you, like all great thrillers, there is conflict on just about every page, which means you have to set aside some time, or you're going to be late to work, or you're going to be up all night. So when you sit down with this book, you need to just know that this is just where your focus has to be, right? It was really hard to and you, Jim had just recently had his second eye surgery for cataract. And so he sat down to read your book, Matt, and only one eye, the corrected eye, could read. And the other, and really that eye for distance. And so he was, I have to say, he soldiered through, like, no, I have to read this.
that's one of the greatest compliments a writer can get.
I did have to take a break once in a while. I think I'm getting cross-eyed here.
Say, well, just read that paragraph to me. really fun. So with a couple more minutes before we go to our last break, we're just going to talk some other characters. We're just going to throw out a name. We'll try not to do names we've already talked about a bit. And just give us, a sentence or two. Like, we'll start with Beth Jenkins.
Beth Jenkins went to the farm, the training facility with Tom DeLange, and she is the character that was working to find him in Iran. I can't give away. There's one big chapter that I can't get away with telling
okay.
anyone, but
yeah.
she's very much involved in finding him.
Yeah. Okay, honey, pick out a name.
Well, let's talk about the name. Let's talk about that Revolutionary Guard. You got a Major General Shirazi, and you got a lieutenant in there, Azim Aswani, if I got these names right.
Yeah.
What's Revolutionary Guard? First, what's that guard about? It's part of the military organization?
It's a multi-complex organization that takes into account the armed forces, the aerospace, the Navy, and then you have the besiege, which is the the domestic police. Basically, it's volunteer military, And then you have the Quds Force, who takes care of the foreign intelligence and the counterintelligence. So all those organizations are molded into, or they fall under the umbrella of the Revolutionary Guard. Islani is just one of the henchmen that has a grudge against Farad, and General Shirazi. He's the head of the Revolutionary Guard. And he has a personal objective to bring back the Persian Empire by working with the Russians. So it's his conflict that really pushes the plot forward, because he's actually on a has a personal agenda.
We have a number of countries involved here, because we got Saudi Arabia involved, and you got a guy by the name of Tariq.
Yeah, Tariq Al-Masari. Yeah, Tariq Al-Masari. He is the U.S. ambassador, or the ambassador for Saudi Arabia to the U.S. And he's Tom DeLange's good friend. And one of the things that I will tell everyone listening is that one of the big themes of my book is friendship. And in a world, in a spy world, and in Iran, where you're never really sure who you can trust, the way these guys try to—they have no other choice but to trust their way out of Iran. So everyone has their own little story that connects to the other.
And I think there is a scene with a wingsuit, three wingsuits. And if you want to talk about friendship and trust, go read that scene.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Oh my goodness, my goodness. How about, let's see, how about C Samin.
Samin,
How about
yeah.
a little something about Samin?
I heard long ago that no story is really complete without a little bit of romance. So Samin and Kirk Carruthers, they have a romantic relationship that really develops over the course of the story. But it's not just a side act during the story. Samin actually plays a big role in the reason why they cannot escape Iran the first time the way they had planned. So all the characters are interconnected, but you have to have, I really believe that, some type of romance always adds a little bit of something to a thriller novel.
Absolutely. We're going to take one more very short break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what Matt's working on next. We're going to hear a little bit from the business Jim and I have, outwestshop.com, which helps support this program. And we'll take a listen to that. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Matt. Don't go away.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out outwestshop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. I'm Andrew with the writer. We're talking with Matt Scott and Surviving the Lion's Den. Matt, what's next?
I am working on a new book. I can't tell you a whole lot about it because I'm superstitious like that, but I can tell you this. It is a brand new set of characters, and it does have a domestic setting. So it takes place, in the United States. And I'm about 92,000 words through that, so I'm hoping to finish it by the end of the summer.
Do you have a favorite place that you like to write in?
I have the office that I'm in right now, is my quiet spot. It's at the other end of the house, because my wife has a voice that carries when she's working. So I just plug in the headphones and put on the white noise. But you guys can't see it, but I have a you know, a framed picture of Vince Flynn and David Baldacci here on my desk. So they're always there staring at me, trying to give me a little inspiration.
Yeah.
Is there a particular time when you write, or just when you get a chance?
I try and do a little bit of writing at night just because I do have another 8-to-5 job. So what I'll usually do is I'll work my 8-to-5, come downstairs, have dinner with my wife, we'll watch some TV, and she tends to go to sleep a little early. So when she goes to sleep, I'll come back up, and I try and write about 1500 words a day is usually my number. But my hard and fast rule is that, once I start a chapter, I have to finish. I cannot stop in the middle of chapters. It's just one of those OCD things, I guess. But I want to make sure that, you know, I do finish the chapter.
I think readers, a lot of us probably read that same way. We can't, you know, we have to get to at least the end of the chapter.
Right.
Yeah.
So where can people find you and follow you, Matt, and purchase your book?
My books are available in all e-reader formats. If you do want the paperback, you'll have to order on demand from Amazon. If you want to reach me, you can reach me by sending me an email through my website, mattscottbooks.com. And I am available. I do have a personal Facebook page. I just never changed it to the business one. So you can friend me or message me there. And I am available at Matt Scott Books on both Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it these days, and Instagram. And as always, you know, I love interacting with anyone who wants to contact me. And if you want a signed copy of the first book or any of the three, just message me and we'll work something out.
Well, we've been talking with Matt Scott, and of course, I'm going to hold up the book again. The first of three books in the trilogy, Surviving the Lion's Den. And in case Scott McCray is listening, we're going to do a shout out to Scott. We thank him so much, Matt, that he suggested that we all, you know, should
get
together. So, Scott, if you're watching today or down the road, we really thank you for that. Jim, you have a quote, I think, don't you?
We have something over here. Yes.
What you got for us?
Well, this is about our hero or protagonist, Kurt. He's about to complete his mission. The memories converted to burning rage behind Kurt's eyes. It became the fuel that drove him. The flowering aromas of tulips and jasmine permeated his nose as he made his way through the garden. Maybe revenge does smell sweet after all. I like that. We have several others.
So many.
Yeah, that was a fun scene for me to write, because the house that he goes into to find the man who killed his grandfather, that house was modeled after my grandfather's house.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Well, let's see. This was episode, what did I say, 144? And it will be available immediately after this live stream. It'll show up immediately again on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page, Rendezvous with a Writer Facebook, Bobby Jean Bell Facebook, and then later this evening, it'll be up on Podbean, where you can catch the audio version of it. So do check that out. Next week, a friend of ours who's been with us a couple of times with a short story earlier this year, and with Natalie Bright, I think that's probably 2 years ago. Yep. We are delighted to have Denise F. McAllister back with us next week. And she's written three in a series called the Katie McKim Mystery Series, Stalker or Saint, book one. Hero Brothers, if I have them in the right order, book two, and Pegasus Flying, book three. So we have a lot of reading to do.
Three books.
Oh, but they're so good. There's
yeah,
no
don't you love it. You love it. You love it. You know.
Now he has both eyes operating. He's got both eyes operating now.
He's been 24/7 broadcast.
Oh, Scott, thank you. I mean, Matt, I'm surprised that that's the first time I did that. Called you your last name instead of your first name,
Everybody
Matt.
does it. Yeah. If I had a nickel for every time it happened, I'd be retired and living in Bora Bora by now.
I'll send one your way. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, thank you so
great
much for
time,
having me.
Really.
Yeah. Jim, do you have a parting comment?
As we always say, it's a great day out west.
Keep writing and
And
we'll
we'll
keep
keep
reading.
reading.
We'll see you down the trail. Bye-bye, Matt. Thank you
Thanks,
for
man.
being
So
with
much.
us.
Thank you so much.